If you build it, they will come, is essentially the message that Sports Illustrated recruiting insider John Garcia had for all of you LSU fans out there who may be a little bit concerned about where LSU's recruiting class is for 2023. On today's edition of Locked In at LSU, John Garcia himself joins the show to break down the 2023 recruiting class, its strengths, and where it's lacking a little bit. So we'll break down all of that and more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'd like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for being the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And we are joined now by the best, John Garcia Jr. He's the director of football recruiting for Sports Illustrated and a college football recruiting analyst for Sports Illustrated as well. So, John, this past month for LSU recruiting has been incredible. I mean, I was concerned in the month of June where LSU was sitting, you know, in the mid-40s in 2023 recruiting rankings, and now LSU sits in the top 10. So let's start with these 10 commitments that have been made to LSU in the month of July. And the highest-rated commit in Jaylen Brown, a wide receiver out of Miami. I see him, a player out of Miami, a player with offers from schools closer to home, from Miami, from Florida State. Why LSU?
Yeah, this was something that I think even Jaylen will tell you, Caroline, that he was surprised by. He visited briefly during the spring with his South Florida Express 7-on-7 teammates, and he spent like a few hours on campus. And that literal minute window was enough for him to say, maybe I need to be giving LSU a closer look. He had been, you know, one of the top prospects in Miami for several years. So he had built relationships with so many schools over a long period of time, whether it's the Hurricanes, Notre Dame, certainly Georgia, Alabama at one point, A&M was kind of another late riser on his list. But that quick little trip where he didn't get the full impression of LSU intrigued him enough for him to say, you know, let me schedule the official visit. And then at that point really was when we started hearing, hey, LSU could be positioning itself to pull him out of Miami, which was something that even 6 weeks ago seemed like a big improbability. So I think it says a lot about Brian Kelly and about what the offense wants to be at LSU. That is also a position where we've seen so much rich history for the Tigers, yet over the last couple recruiting cycles, they haven't really hit that banner wide receiver commitment. So I do think that's another mark of positivity for Jaylen in terms of why he picked LSU. But, you know, he's a different kid, reserved type of kid, kind of quietly confident. Reminds you a little bit height, weight, personality-wise of Devontae Smith, a Louisianan, mm-hmm. who, of course, ended up at Alabama, you know, has kind of that reserve, but you know he's, you know, quietly confident in his own right. So those are the kind of kids typically, in my experience, that are more willing to go out on a limb and not maybe, I don't want to say settle, but maybe not go with the status quo of, well, I'm the top receiver in South Florida and Miami's all over me, so I'm just going to go play for the U. I think that was probably the plan at one point. But again, that quick visit turned into the official visit. And that was really all she wrote for Jaylen Brown, who wants to be outside the box and kind of do his own thing. I think the Miami buzz was only recent with him. Earlier in his recruitment, we heard a lot more about Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas mm-hmm. A&M, even Florida State. So throughout the years, there was a longstanding thought that this kid was going to leave South Florida. So in the end, it just ended up being LSU over Texas or A&M or some of these other schools that maybe held more buzz just as recently.
And you kind of mentioned how he, not to, you know, take words out of your mouth, but almost kind of went off the beaten path in committing to LSU when Miami could have been easy. And, you know, seeing Arch Manning going to Texas, that could be an easy choice as well. But you look at the 2023 recruiting class, and it's very defense heavy, which I want to hit on later on. But do you think the fact that, you know, he's the only wide receiver currently committed in this 2023 class, was attractive to him, that he could be that guy in this class?
Very good point. You know, Miami's kind of loaded at the position. I think at the time Jalen committed to LSU, Miami had like three or four prospects committed at the position, and they're targeting a couple of more as they turn over that roster. So, yeah, I do think something like that is appealing. And I also think, you know, Cortez Hankton deserves some due here. I mean, I think when he left Georgia for LSU, it was huge news. It was like, this is one of the banner hires for Brian Kelly, and this is one of those that shows the pull and allure of LSU, which I've always said is arguably the best job in the country, all things even. So I think there was also, after he was hired, though, there was this kind of like, okay, but when's he going to reel in that big fish that we assume is on the way? It turned out to be a little later rather than sooner, but I think for LSU fans, it was worth the wait if Jaylen Brown becomes your wide receiver one day. Again, a kid with legitimate track and field speed. I think at one point this year he had the top 200 meter dash time in America. I mean, this is as fast, as smooth, as swift a recruit as there is at any position, and he's heading to LSU. So for Cortez, I thought, you know maybe he had to wait a little bit, but it was worth the wait to win this kind of battle, and he should be the class headliner because it was improbable and as national a recruiting battle as there was in this class among the kids who have already committed. He's one of the banner summer pledges of any school receiving over the last few weeks and months.
Absolutely, because I know I heard some grumblings of LSU fans maybe being a little bit nervous that Brian Kelly hadn't gotten that big fish that you mentioned. And then I've heard, okay, now that Jaylen Brown's in the mix, then that could kind of be the catalyst for more players to come. But what is it about Jaylen Brown what does he possess that do you think fits what LSU wants to do offensively?
Well, look, I think Brian Kelly's touched on kind of the corner he was almost backed into perceptionally at Notre Dame from an offensive standpoint, where it was so conventional and great offensive lines, great tight ends, and great defense has kind of dictated how some of that perception would maybe hit its ceiling offensively from an exciting or chunk play, big play standpoint. I think Jaylen is the counter to that. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a kid that I don't think Brian Kelly gets at Notre Dame, but at LSU he does get, because it's the kind of that combination of now I'm in a new place, new revamped philosophy offensively. And yeah, Brian will, he's already said it. I mean, he wants to push more vertically. He wants to have more explosive offenses associated with his strengths, right? He's known as a great recruiter, great in-game coach, a winner, all these things, program changer, all those things you want as a coach, but he wants to push a little bit more towards that. Hey, we can also, you know, light up the scoreboard a little bit at this school. And I think when you make the move from Notre Dame to LSU, it's with kids like Jaylen Brown in mind. And Jaylen brings that truly game-changing speed. You know, we talk about these catchphrases and buzzwords all the time, but when you're running 10.4, 10.5, you got the best 200-meter dash time in the country, you can literally change the game with one move and one cut. And I think that's something that every national power needs at their disposal on their roster. And that's something that I'm not sure LSU has had in abundance over the last couple of seasons. So that's one of the things that needs to change.
That's one thing. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of offensive scheme you're running. If you've got a burner like that, you can make a lot of things happen.
So we broke down the offensive side of the ball in the 2023 class. Coming up next with John, I want to break down the defensive side of the ball. Where is it strong, and how can it be even stronger? BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. You can find your favorite sports and events at the number one source for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every league. They've got Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. You name it, BetOnline.net has got it. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, sports scores, and podcasts. They've got you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts.
In this class, I'm looking at Caleb Jackson, four-star running back from Baton Rouge, who just recently committed. So what exactly does he bring to the table in terms of the running game?
Well, a good segue, because he's known for speed. He's another guy who's 10, I think 10.7 in the 100 meter dash. I mean, this is another burner. This is another guy who doesn't need a lot of room to make things happen. You know, I think, again, you, as a college coach, you want to develop and you want to craft and build guys towards all conference and maybe NFL, you know, lore one day, but you also just want guys who could flat out do something so well that it's just hard to keep them off the field. And and with Caleb, it's the wheels. He is a quintessential spread, one cut and just go type of runner. He wins the edge so easily in high school. He beats defensive backs who have the angle on him along the sideline. He's just another home run threat. And again, you talk about the current roster and wanting to supplement what you've already got. You've got balanced backs in your John Emery's. You've got big physical Noah Cain type of backs. But you might not have that track star. He doesn't get a lot of carries, but man, when he gets space, big things happen kind of running back. And I think Caleb brings a lot of that to the table. And I think, you know, local kid, you know, kid who probably always wanted to play at LSU. So I think that adds some more juice to this commitment. But yeah, the first thing you notice is that one cut ability and true straight line speed, not only getting to that top end speed where everybody feels kind of fast, but accelerating and getting there in a hurry. Him and Jaylen Brown, they both get to top speed in 3 or 4 steps, which really puts more pressure on the defenders trying to tackle him. And I think with Caleb, he's already got the size on top of it. And I think that's what's intriguing about him. Even though he doesn't play great high school competition, you can start to translate 15 yards of carry, track speed, home run ability, and the size to contend right now at the collegiate
15
level.
15 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's body. So it's like a lot of people, like Arch Manning, we talked about earlier, he gets knocked for the level of competition. Well, do you dominate the level of competition? You know, Derrick Henry played 1A football in Florida. Nobody was worried about him coming out of high school.
Also, nobody talks about how Odell Beckham Jr. went to the same high school as Arch Manning. No one's worried about his level of competition coming out of high school.
It's like you shouldn't focus on that as much as what you do with what you're presented with. And Caleb Jackson getting 15 yards of carry tells me all I need to know about how much he dominates the teams that line up against him on Friday nights, especially at, you know, at Liberty Magnet, where every single one of those defenders and their backups and their coaches and the parents knows Caleb's getting the rock. And he's still putting up these gaudy head-turning numbers on the football field and on the track, which I think is a great supplement and equalizer when we talk about maybe prospects that don't play the best competition in America.
And I look at Caleb Jackson, you mentioned it, he's a hometown kid, he's from Baton Rouge, but he's only the third commitment out of this class of currently constructed 16 commits from the state of Louisiana. And I don't have to explain to anyone listening to this podcast that's an LSU fan that understands how important in-state recruiting really is. And, you know, aside from the obvious hometown element here, I mean, he had offers from Alabama, from A&M, from Auburn. Why LSU, other than being, you know, a hometown kid? He could have gone wherever he wanted and would have had an easier path to a national championship and maybe some other programs in the SEC West.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fandom certainly, you know, plays into that to a degree. But like you said, I mean, this kid had a great offer list. I do think the opportunity is a little bit different at LSU. Mm-hmm. Like I said, his skill set is not something maybe he sees at a school like LSU. Same thing with Jaylen Brown. It's almost like you can sell that a little bit easier if you're Brian Kelly. Like, hey, we don't really have someone like you. So not only do the hometown thing, represent the boo, all that, which is great, but also come bring something to our table that we don't quite have sitting down here. And I think that can start to separate things, especially at positions like receiver and running back, that we see easier transitions from high school to college. You know, I think selling immediate playing time or a role that isn't quite carved out on a current roster, it's easier to sell to running backs and wide receivers because we see those guys as true freshmen, maybe second year players, really having an impact on rosters across the country, top to bottom, national champions all the way down to, you know, group of five schools.
Especially in a team like LSU that has been so shallow in so many position groups and has been had to use the transfer portal to kind of build up the roster this year. Do you think that Caleb Jackson could be the catalyst to get more in-state recruits to commit to LSU, or is it just time?
You know, that's a good question. I think when you think of Louisiana recruiting, there's really a few cities that pop up in your brain first. Obviously, New Orleans comes up first. Mm-hmm. Baton Rouge is probably second. So yeah. I do think from a talent, a volume, and you know, a peer recruiting standpoint, that's about as good as you could hope for in terms of landing Louisianans on the commitment list. Obviously, you want to get into the northern parts of the state and all that as well.
Frank Kelly mentioned that at SEC Media Days, and it's true. But if you really look at it, the rich talent is in South Louisiana.
Sure. And it's the same thing in Alabama and other places, right? The coast, Mississippi as well. The coast is where, you know, population is, and it's where people want to move to. So naturally the talent, you know, moves that way, migrates that way more times than not. So yeah, if you want to build your Louisiana crew, you start in New Orleans and you go from there. So naturally Baton Rouge is the second metro area that you want to bring up. And I think it's become the second most talented. I think over the years, some people who have moved east from Texas and people who have moved west from New Orleans have matriculated into Baton Rouge, which has grown in population a lot over the last 5-10 years. So I think Baton Rouge, even though it's LSU's backyard, it is more competitive than people realize. And that's why not only LSU has benefited from it, but the Alabamas, the A&Ms, and other schools have been able to come in and really try to set up shop in the city itself beyond New Orleans.
Which is why it's been such an emphasis from LSU fans and from the inside of LSU football is to keep the talent in state, because the talent is so rich in state. But kind of moving over to the defensive side of the ball in the 2023 class, I mean, 4th of July weekend was almost overwhelming as an LSU fan to see how many recruits came in, 5 recruits on 4th of July weekend, all on the defensive side of the ball. What is the allure of LSU to players on defense?
Well, it's just the expectation. You just know not only will you be able to utilize that Death Valley crowd that is so, first of all, earned, that reputation is earned in Death Valley, but it, you know, that's for the defense, right? I mean, that is something that you think of. It's third down for the opposition, 3rd and 6, game on the line, and that crowd is so crazy that place is shaking, and you're on defense on the field. I mean, that selling point kind of sells itself. And then you start to think of the DBU reputation. You think of just the influx of Sunday talent coming out of LSU's defense over forever since I've been alive. It seems like, I think all of that lines up. And then if you separate just that home vibe and atmosphere, you're in the SEC West. I mean, you have a chance to compete against Alabama every single year in a marquee kind of game. A&M is on the rise. Auburn has its moments. Arkansas is on the rise. I mean, that division, everybody understands collectively,
it's tough.
It's the best. It's the best. And it's the hardest. And it's the one that produces the most NFL players. So it's kind of the selling point of every non-Alabama team in the West. It's like, come here and compete. And you do so, if you do it this well and you stop Bryce Young and some of these guys, you're going to get your due. And there's countless examples of LSU players doing that at every single position throughout the defense. So to me, it's always the easier sell, even when you transition with your head coach and the rest of the coaching staff, because it's just kind of expected and built in at LSU. Like, there's certain schools that you just expect their defense to be good, right? LSU, Bama, Georgia, mm-hmm. Auburn, Florida. You just expect that Wisconsin, Iowa, mm-hmm. These teams are going to play good defense. You don't have to tell me the year, the personnel, the head coach, the record. I know they're going to play pretty good defense more times than not. And I think LSU is still certainly one of those programs.
Now, the reputation into succeeds coaches. But I look at the defensive linemen who committed that weekend: Deshaun Womack, Darren Reed, the edge rushers, Jackson Howard, Joshua Mickens, and a corner in Ashton Stamps, also a local kid as well. Looking at that group of 5, what is LSU getting from those 5 players? I know it's a lot. But what is LSU getting?
A lot of premium value. Those positions that you listed, Caroline, those are the premium positions, right? Pass rusher, corner, even interior defensive linemen have become more important in constructing a college football roster. So, you know, Womack and Jackson Howard, my gosh, those guys, and Reed coming off the edge. I mean, those are legitimate pass rushers. And what's interesting about that group in particular to me, they're all a little bit different. I think Howard is your long, raw athlete. We don't even know what he's going to be. We just know it's going to be pretty darn good. He can stand up. He can put his hand in the dirt. I think Womack out of St. Francis Academy, a little bit more polished, but has the frame to maybe work inside on top of it. And Reed is more of your longer, straight line, speed, bend type of pass rusher. All different elements that you need when you put together pass rushing packages at the SEC level. So I think they all can get after it, you know, on a flat level, but they all bring some variance to the pass rusher position as well. And a couple of them have the frame to eventually bulk up and move inside and become interior pass rushers, which is really one of the trendier moves we're seeing throughout college and NFL football, bulking up these defensive ends and making them interior guys with the same type of impact.
And I believe that LSU is going to have one of the top defensive lines in the SEC, maybe if not the country this season. I think that's going to be the highlight of LSU's team this year. What else does this 2023 class or even beyond need to add on to that group of four guys within the interior and exterior defensive line to continue that defensive line dominance and strength?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, usually you need more bulk. I mean, it's becoming harder to find because the classic interior defensive linemen don't show up nationally like they used to. I think a lot of those guys are converting to offensive line because there's a little bit more flexibility. There's 5 300 pounders on the field on the offense. On the defense, those numbers are dwindling. It's maybe one or two at the most, where it used to be at least two. So I think the positional focus when these kids are in high school has shifted, and this class of 23, Caroline, is not great on the defensive interior. A lot of tweeners or a lot of guys who you're just kind of projecting to add that weight. There's not a whole lot of 315 pounders that are people movers on the defensive interior in this class, at least at the SEC LSU, you know, level of expectation. So I do think that's an area not only for LSU, but for a lot of schools that they need to focus in on and start to make those decisions. Are we bulking up some guys, or are we going to take some chances on maybe some guys who are a little too heavy at this point and just buy into them reshaping their frame and becoming SEC ready? I think those are tough decisions because you're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, but those are what could get on the cutting room floor or keep you on the bubble one way or the other when the 11th hour hits. And I think you can find some of that later in the cycle too. I think there'll be some emergers during the 2022 season that allow programs like LSU to spot recruit, especially when you're in Louisiana, you're in that SEC West footprint, and you can go to neighboring states and find big bodies. You know, I do think that's something that benefits an LSU versus a program that's in the Midwest or on the West Coast in particular.
And kind of looking ahead to the 2024 class, and I want to preface this by saying, I'm never going to put too much stock into a kid who's going to his junior year in high school. I fully understand that. But I think the Tavion Galloway commitment for 2024 is a very interesting one. First and foremost, he's 6'5", 230 at 16 years old, just a freaking monster. But the top player coming out of the state of Ohio, I think that one, it's an interesting commitment coming to LSU, just coming from Ohio, but also being a four-star tight end in this class. That's not something that we're really used to as LSU fans, is getting really high quality tight end talent. But bringing in Brian Kelly, obviously, you know, Notre Dame is tight end you for a reason. Can LSU fans get used to more high quality tight ends committing to LSU and almost kind of reinventing the LSU offense that we're used to, of a very run heavy offense?
You have to. I think, you know, we talked about trendy picks on defense. Yeah. There's no doubt that on offense, the trends are the tight end position. Everybody not only wants the one go-to guy, but you want your counter player. You want your H-back who maybe you can utilize as a fullback or split him out in the slot or off wing in a two-point stance. You want multiple tight ends nowadays, and they're mostly pass first in nature. So I think Galloway's a great example. And like you said, there's a reason Notre Dame has this reputation at the position. I think they've got unofficially 100 tight ends in the NFL right now. Jeez. All different types. So there's certain carryover that Brian Kelly will bring to LSU that maybe the Tiger fans aren't used to. And that's not something that probably gets enough pub because it's something that is a reality for LSU. We all ask the question, can Brian Kelly move south and recruit Cajuns and folks in that SEC footprint when he doesn't really have ties to the area. But we haven't really asked the flip side of it. Can Brian Kelly bring the prowess he built at Notre Dame, largely most wins in the school's history? Can he bring that, some of those perceptions down to LSU and help shore up problem areas like the defense, like discipline? And then on offense, running the football, tight ends in general, can you bring some of those counters to the game? And the Galloway commitment, I think, tells you a lot about that perception and that reality that we're all of a sudden seeing at LSU. The best programs utilize the tight end. Georgia won the Natty last year, and they've got the best tight end room, it seems like, for the next 5 years.
Yep.
In college football, they will utilize it like crazy this year. Alabama has begun using the tight end much, much more, even just in the division, right? Auburn had some good runs last year. Arkansas, Ole Miss started using the tight end a little bit more as well. So it's something you're not only going to benefit from offensively and just widening kind of the approach, but you're also it's also something you're going to see on the other side of the ball. So the more you can do it on your own end, the better you can help prepare your defense for some of those third and six, Death Valley, you know, loud stadium moments.
And I think you bring up a very fair point, because I think a lot of LSU fans have been concerned about one of two things: either Brian Kelly bringing his mindset and his style of football and trying to make LSU football that, or Brian Kelly trying to fit into this LSU football and LSU culture that he just doesn't necessarily fit into. I think fans have been worried about those two things just not working out. But I think you bring up a fair point that the most perfect way that this could all work out is a perfect marriage between maintaining what LSU is and maintaining that those reputations that they have, being a very defensive heavy kind of team and being a very run heavy team, while also bringing in these elements from Notre Dame that have made him so successful, the tight end position being one of them. And I think that's where Brian Kelly finds his most success at LSU.
For sure. And I think also when we tie it back to recruiting, how it's going to work nationally. LSU is one of the few programs that, at least perceptionally, we don't think they have to go very far from home to get all their talent. They'll dip into Texas, they'll go into Arkansas, they'll go east to the neighboring states, down to Florida, and that's kind of it. I don't think that's going to be the plan under Brian Kelly. At Notre Dame, you have to recruit so nationally, literally coast to coast and even internationally at times, to bring in collective talent. So I think that will be an element of LSU football that we should start getting used to. I mean, they got a kid from California on board recently. I mean, I don't
know. Maryland, Indiana.
I don't know the last time we've seen LSU players from those parts of the country. And you start to think of national title teams, that's what they have. They have players from all over the country that make huge impacts early and often. So I do think that's another element where that's right in Brian's wheelhouse. He's always had to do that, but now he gets to do it with an atmosphere that is, frankly, much easier to sell and easier to get into with the academic side compared to Notre Dame. So I think you start to think of it, and as I'm talking about it more, it kind of makes sense when you make a bold move like he did, leaving something so stable for something that has had the highest highs, but has dropped off in that same light over the last decade or so.
And last one for you, John. What would you say to LSU fans who right now are currently unhappy with the recruiting at LSU, whether it be in-state recruiting or whether it be lack of offensive players in this 2023 class? Ease their worries for me a little bit.
Look, I know, quarterback recruiting is going to be a thing. It's not just LSU, by the way. There's a lot of programs that are just struggling to figure out that position. And a lot of these transition coaching staffs are in that boat as well. So I would say be patient there. It's LSU. The state of Louisiana's got great quarterback play. Texas is right nearby, next door. They also are known for that. I think it's going to work out in the long term. But I do think that part of the reason why it hasn't been so smooth, I guess, is because there's a lot of talent in the current quarterback room. And a lot of these kids that we talk to, they want that pretty quick path. I did some research recently doing some Arch Manning stuff. A quarterback ranked number one nationally has not sat more than 1 year at his college of choice in the last decade. 1 year. So your Trevor Lawrence is of the world, your Justin Fields is of the world. They have either moved on or they've gotten that green light in the first 12 months that they've been on campus. And there's really not a clear path at LSU right now. So I do think you go big picture with the recruiting expectation. Understand quarterback's going to be an uphill battle, though we'll see with with Ricky Collins there locally at Woodlawn. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle, but something that will resettle in the class of 2024 and beyond. It's not a position I'd worry about in general. And the same thing with Louisiana. Brian Kelly's going to recruit more nationally, and kids got to get used to Brian Kelly on their own end when it comes to the local one. So let them get on campus more, experience games in Death Valley. That always helps. And let's see what the on-field product looks like, something that could enhance the current state of recruiting. But there's no doubt that the summer finished about as well as any LSU fan could have expected beyond, of course, the quarterback position.
And that's why I always try to remind people, it's July, there's time, and you're concerned right now because you have nothing on the field to concern yourself with or distract yourself with. But John Garcia, we appreciate you for chatting with us, and we'll chat with you soon.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
And again, I'm your host, Caroline Fenton, as I am every day. You can find me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also find more on the podcast on the YouTube page at Locked On LSU. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.